church, I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. I'm so glad you are worshiping with us this evening. This is just one of my favorite nights to gather together before Christmas Day to worship and sing and pray together. And every year, I'm just always amazed at the number of guests that we have among us. And we're always kind of wondering, like, where are you all from? Like, are you from the city or the suburbs? Or you're here with brothers and sisters, family members joining us from out of town? So we decided to do something we've never done before, and I have a feeling we'll never do it again. We put this little insert in the bulletin, nice picture of our choir director, Dan. He's up there somewhere. You can meet him in person if you want later. And this little card, it actually tears off. And I would love for you to just write your town and your city on it. That's all. Just town and city on it. And when the offering plate comes by later on, just put it in. And then we'll have a sense of where folks are from who are worshiping with us on this special night, Christmas Eve. There is room for questions, comments, and prayers. You're welcome to write a question or a prayer concern on there. We'll pray for you. There is a place for email. And if you write your email on, I promise we will put you on no lists at Park Street Church. Only thing that will happen is I'll send you a note saying thanks for worshiping with us. And your name, I'm not really worried about your name at all, unless you want to put it on, that's fine. But anyway, it'd be fun if you would take the opportunity to do that. My wife shared with me a Facebook post from a friend of hers who lives in Sydney, Australia, from a couple days ago. He wrote, "Can any one of my friends recommend a church with a good Christmas Eve service in Sydney? I only have two preferences. One, lots of music. And two, the lowest probability that anyone will talk to me." He wrote, "Last year we attended a Presbyterian church and someone invited me to come to their house to sing Christmas carols after the service. Pretty sure it was a serial killer." Look, if you have come to Park Street to be left alone, I promise you we can be amazingly unfriendly. After all, this is a New England church, right? You've come to the right place. Oh, just kidding. I'm thankful you're here. I'm glad we're worshiping together tonight. I'd like to talk a bit this evening about the name of Jesus, the name which we are first introduced to in the birth narratives from Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, concerning this child. It really is a great position of honor to give a name to another person. I mean, has anyone here ever given a name to something, anything, a person or something else? Raise your hand, right? Yeah, okay, almost lots of hands. Have you ever named a pet? Raise your hand if you've named a pet. My first dog, I named her Tinker. Why I named her Tinker, I have no idea. My best friend, Ken, he had a dog. He named his dog Intrepid, which means courageous and brave. That's a good name for a dog. When I became a youth director at a church, my first job at a church, I decided to buy the biggest car I could possibly get a hold of. Anyone ever name their car? Look at that. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I bought a white 1977 Gran Torino LTD 2 station wagon. Just huge. Could fit 8-10 kids in it. And I called it the White Whale. My wife was telling me that she had the privilege, her and her friends, to name her sixth grade softball team. when she played softball. And she says, she said to me that she named them the pistol-packing mamas. Clearly, that was from a different era or a different part of the country. But when it comes to naming your children, that's serious business. That's when, you know, things become really important. It was not easy coming to agreement on the names Amanda Noel and Isaiah Christian and Josiah Thomas and Tabitha Elizabeth for our children. Laura and I wanted really, really, really good names for these kids. So we debated and mulled and we crossed out name after name. We weighed the connotations of each. It's a great privilege to name another person. You know, that name, it becomes the symbol and character of everything about that person. Whenever you say that name, you think wholly their character, their gifts, their weaknesses, everything about them becomes captured in that name. That's why sometimes in the biblical times, they would choose a very specific name, actually hoping that their child would grow in to that kind of character. And so you could imagine with Mary and Joseph how important it was to them as they approached the choice of the name of their child with great earnestness. And on that night when their child was born, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and they laid him in a manger. At some point, together they looked in his little eyes and said, "Your name is Jesus." Well, that is if they spoke English, right? They would have called him Jesus. But if they had spoke Koine Greek, which was one of the languages that was spoken in that area too, they would have called him Jesus. But most likely they spoke either Hebrew or a dialect of Hebrew called Aramaic. And because of that, they called their baby Yeshua. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why Yeshua? Well, first, it's interesting to note that Jesus was a remarkably common name around the time of Christ's birth. The reference book, The Lexicon of Jewish Names in Late Antiquity, estimates that this name Jesus, Yeshua, was the sixth most popular name among boys in that time period. Over 70 different tombs have been found in Israel from that time period with the name Yeshua on it. And the longer name, Yeshua is sort of a shorter name. The longer name is actually Yehoshua. And there's hundreds of tombs that have been found with that name inscribed on it. The Jewish historian Josephus, who wrote during that time period, he lists at least 12 different people who are named Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus. And even the New Testament names at least two other people with the name Jesus. And it's really not too hard to speculate why this name was so popular at that time. I mean, you can even get a sense of it in the birth narratives themselves from Matthew and Luke. And it's all because of what lies behind this name. That first part, the Yah in Yeshua, that Yah part, that's actually short for Yahweh. That's the personal name of God. The second part of the name, the Shua part, that means to save or to rescue. It means to deliver. So the name Jesus, the name Yeshua, means God saves. God delivers. And if you think of the context in which this name became popular, which the Jews were in at the time of the birth of Jesus, it kind of makes sense why it was so popular. Because for hundreds of years, the Jews, their land had been occupied by foreign powers, by the Persians and the Greeks, the Babylonians earlier, then finally the Romans for many years. King Herod that we read about in Matthew and Luke, he was just a puppet king of the Roman Empire. And why Mary and Joseph, why they were forced to go to Bethlehem, it was all because of a census that was forced upon them by the Romans so that they could be counted and that sooner or later their well-earned money would be taken from them and put into the pocket of Caesar. So they longed for God to intervene on their behalf, to deliver them from the hands of the Romans. There were several insurrections that happened over a number of years, most of them that failed. And they wanted God to act, God to rescue. This naming of Jesus, naming your child Jesus during that time period, in that day, it was all a longing of the heart of God's people saying, oh God, would you save us? We need to be rescued. And I can imagine some here today have the same kind of deep longing for God to work in our lives too. You feel trapped. You feel abandoned. You need help. You need somebody to rescue you from someone or something in your life. God, please help me. God, please deliver me. God, I need you now more than ever. Where are you, God? Do you hear me? Does God hear you? Does he hear your cries? Do you know where you can find the answer to that question? It's in the name choice of this child born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Because do not forget who the one was who actually named this baby Jesus. In the first chapter of Matthew, we read that an angel visited Joseph and told him, Joseph, the woman with whom you're betrothed, Mary, she's going to have a baby, and you are to name him Jesus. And we find out in the first chapter of Luke, an angel comes to Mary and says the same thing. Mary, you are going to have a baby, and you are to name this child Jesus. You see, this name that this child bore, it didn't originate from the creativity or the thinking or the earnest deliberations of Mary and Joseph, but it was presented to them by the most glorious of heavenly creatures, the angel Gabriel. But no angel speaks on their own accord to mankind. They're just messengers. This name surely echoed first within the ivy throne room of God, spoken by the king himself. This child will be named Jesus. It's God the Father who named his son. And the name he chose was Yeshua, Jesus, God saves. I mean, do you see what's going on here? If the testimony of Scripture is true, if this angel visited Mary to deliver this message to her, if this name actually originated in the heavens above, chosen by God Himself, then God's entire reputation was invested fully in this name that He gives His Son and the work that He gives Him to accomplish. Does God save? Does God rescue? Does God hear? His answer is yes. Yes, I deliver. Yes, I hear you. Yes, I save. This child will prove to you that I save. This child will be the means by which I will save. Yeshua, Jesus, He is the answer to the question, does God hear you? And if the Scriptures are to be believed, we read throughout Jesus' life that that's exactly what He did. He heard the cries of those around Him, and He answered them one by one. When they were hungry, He fed them in a miraculous way. When the leper cried out to Him, when the blind man cried out to Him, when the paralytic cried out to Him for help, He healed them in a miraculous way. When the daughter of a woman died and she cried out to Him, He raised this girl back to life. Over and over again, He proved Himself the giver of life, the one who gave sight to the blind, the one who freed captives. If this testimony of Scripture is true, Jesus proved time and time again, one individual at a time, He proved Yeshua. That God saves, God rescues, God delivers. And if the Scriptures are to be believed, He wants to mend your heart too. Peter says, cast your burdens upon Christ, for He cares for you. He wants to heal your diseases. He wants to renew your strength like the eagles. He wants to crown you with love and respond to you with His compassion. But He wants to do more than this for you if the Scriptures are true. Because God wanted to address the root problem in our lives, in the world. He didn't want to simply engage in individual skirmishes. He wanted to address the real problem head on and defeat the true enemy of our souls. The angel declared to Joseph, listen, he said, you shall call him Jesus. Why? For He shall save you from your sins. He's going to save you from your sins. And this is what this child did, if the Scriptures are to be believed. At the age of 33, Jesus hung on a cross and took our sins upon Himself, and He died. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Through Yeshua, we are saved from our sins. Our sins are forgiven. They're cast away as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are remembered no more. And we're given new hearts. And we are clothed in His righteousness. And I know some of you are very sensitive to this. You know the greatest shackle you wear is your failure in the past to do what's right. You've let other people down. You've let yourself down. You've let God down. And you're living with a guilt from which you cannot find relief. A shackle from which you cannot escape. Listen, God has put his reputation on the line and has sent his only begotten son into the world, and he's given him the name Jesus. He sent him to rescue you so that you might be forgiven from that sin, freed from that guilt, united again with him in love, and enjoy full and abundant life in him. That is, if the scriptures are to believe, if the scriptures are true. Isn't that amazing news on Christmas Eve? God saves. God rescues, God delivers. The Almighty God put his reputation on the line by naming this child Jesus, Yeshua. And according to the scriptures, Jesus died and was raised again to save us. But is the name to be believed? Are the scriptures true? Can they be trusted? Peter thought so. You know, Peter, later in his life, he was thrown into prison. And he was thrown there because he kept talking about Jesus. And they said, stop mentioning this man's name. Stop talking about Jesus. And what Peter said? He said, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Salvation, listen. He says this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And Paul thought so. He writes in Philippians, Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place. Listen, he says, and he gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Matthew thought so. He wrote a whole book about Jesus, beginning with his birth and ending with his resurrection, because he was thoroughly convinced that God uniquely saves and heals and delivers and rescues and gives life through Jesus. You know why Peter and Paul and Matthew believed in this name Jesus? Well, Peter was Jesus' best friend. And he and Matthew, they spent 3 years of their lives watching him. And Paul had a life-changing encounter in person with the resurrected Jesus. They saw Jesus with their eyes, healing people and doing things that no one else could have ever done. They saw him die on the cross. They knew where he was buried, the place where his tomb was. They saw him living again. They were not making up cleverly invented stories. They believed in this person because they saw him with their very own eyes. They believed him enough to stake their own reputation and their own lives on him. From that point on, they traveled to tell people about this person, Jesus. Peter and Paul, they ended up in Rome. Matthew, he went as far as Ethiopia. And each of them, they were put to death because of their testimony and their belief in this name, Jesus, this person. So are the scriptures to be believed? Are they true? Is this name to be trusted? Because, you know, if you think about it, a lot is at stake, isn't it? The reputation of God was put on the line when he chose this name for this child. Matthew and Peter and Paul's testimony and lives, they were all put on a line. What a wasted life. What a set of wasted lives these three lived if Jesus indeed doesn't save. And honestly, my friends, your life is on the line as well. For if Peter is correct, there is no other name by which you can be saved but the name of Jesus, the person of Yeshua. So that's why John tells us in the first chapter of his gospel, when he speaks about Jesus' birth, he says, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right." He gives you the right to be called children of God. And Paul writes to the Romans, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the season for believing. So I have one simple question for you this Christmas Eve. Do you believe? Do you believe? I know how much we struggle with faith in God. The disciples themselves doubted at times. But ultimately, you either believe or you don't. And on this Christmas Eve, I want you to know how sweet this name of Jesus is. The name that God himself chose for this child. I want you to know this person, this name can be trusted. You can entrust your life to him. Peter and Paul and Matthew did. You can trust him. You can cast every one of your burdens upon him because he cares for you. You can trust him. Believe in this person. Believe in this name, Jesus. May he be born anew in your hearts this Christmas Eve.